digitally uploaded.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Digitally Uploaded podcast. I'm Matthew Sainsbury. I'm the editor-in-chief of digitallydownloaded.net. And with me today, I have Alan.
Hello.
And we don't have Chris today, unfortunately. He's away doing something or other. But instead, we have a better replacement. We have Nicole from Disparity Games.
Hello.
Thank you very much for coming on. Looking forward to having a chat with you. And let's get straight into it. Was a music track from Ninja Pizza Girl, which comes to us from Disparity Games, who obviously we have on the podcast this week. So, hasn't been too much news worth talking about over the past week, so we thought we'd just jump straight in and talk about what games we're playing at the moment, and given what we have our guest on, we thought we'd ask the guest to speak first. So, Nicole, what are you playing at the moment?
So, I've been giving Firewatch a go. And I'm a bit conflicted about it. I thought that I would like it more than I do.
I actually had a pretty similar experience with Firewatch. Because what are you thinking of the narrative? Just
well, I'm not sure. Maybe it's just me. But I think I relate to his poor wife character a little too much. And I that put me in a really bad place at the beginning. I'm just like, this poor woman. Oh my God. And then I just found it really hard to like the main character. So. But I don't know, maybe that's just me.
No, I can definitely see that. It's an interesting game, but I'm not sure I'm a fan of it either, honestly. It's a bit...
really beautiful.
It's like, gorgeous.
Yeah, the environment's just stunning.
And the photography sort of elements that you can get out of it. It's a bit beyond good and evil. I like that a lot.
Yes.
I mean, I must admit, I haven't actually played it yet, and I've kind of not really been following it, but it's a game that I know that kind of everybody really loves, or there's an awful lot of very positive vibes about the game out there, but then whenever I speak to somebody, they're always like, not sure how I feel about it. So, I mean, I guess my question for you both is, I mean, why do you think it has that positive vibe about it?
Well, for me, it ticks all my boxes. You know, it's a narrative game. It's a short game that you can sit down and play in one or two settings.
There's just something not right?
Yeah, maybe it's just, you know, I like reading, I like books, but that doesn't mean I'm going to like every book, so.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird project, I guess, in that it takes elements from games that I do enjoy, but it just doesn't really gel them together in a cohesive manner, I feel.
Yeah.
Which, it's a bit unfortunate, because I really love the art style. I love almost everything about how it looks, but it's just nothing substantial for me there, I find.
It's doing a lot of things really well. So I find it very hard to critique, like, you just kind of go, well, I didn't like it, but I can't really say why.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those sorts of games, which means that, Matt, you'll adore it, probably.
Yeah, that sounds like a game I would probably end up giving like 5 out of 5 stars to and just go ballistic over for weeks and months. Right, so you've sold it to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and straight after we finish, I'm going to go and download it and play it. And I'm sure I'll let you all know what I think about it as I do that. All right. So, Alan, Dark Souls, I believe you're playing and stuff.
Yep. Still Dark Souls, still Enter the Gungeon. It's been all of my sort of spare time, and I enjoy it more than I could possibly explain. Souls has made a return, and it's better than 2. And it's a lot deeper than Bloodborne, I feel. And I'm very, very happy. It's a wonderful, wonderful video game, even though it has some questionable areas. But yeah, I really enjoy it. I think it's been very well made. It's a good send-off for the entire series. I can't really complain about too much in it, because it's going to be a lot of my sort of spare time in the next months or so, or years.
Yeah,
I guess, I mean, for me, I've always been a little bit wary about the way the Dark Souls series has been handled, mostly because when they made the move from Demon's Souls, which I thought was amazing, to Dark Souls, which I also thought was amazing, and then they started to announce sequels, I started to wonder whether they would be able to keep the creative thrust going. I kind of like what they did with Bloodborne more, in the sense that it was a new IP, and it gave them a chance to do something different. I know Miyazaki's son has been talking about how he'd like to do it like a science fiction style game, and I'm just imagining how great that would be. So I guess with Dark Souls 3, I'm a little bit conflicted in that I do recognize it's probably the best game of that particular series, but at the same time, it just feels like it's at that edge where it's running out of creative juice, and for the Souls series, it needs the creative juice. So I'm really hoping that even though it probably will sell quite well, they don't be tempted to make yet another Dark Souls, and they do go with some new IP next for Miyazaki-san.
Yeah, well, I think I heard that it's the best-selling Bandai Namco game ever, which is quite good when you think about what Dark Souls used to be.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. I do believe it totally deserves to be, you know, a triple-A mega blockbuster kind of style game in terms of its sales. It should be up there with The Witcher and the Mass Effects I just, there's always that temptation once you have a really big success like that to do a sequel.
Do a cash grab sequel.
Yeah, and I don't think sequels are what that series needs.
Ultimately, I think what we all want is a Gundam Dark Souls. I think that's everything that I would ever want in a game.
Or, yeah, I mean, anything sci-fi I think would be really cool. Imagine if it was like a Star Wars Souls game or something like that, you know, that kind of low science fiction, fantasy science fiction style thing that Star Wars does so well. That would be so cool, I think, mixed in with a bit of the horror elements.
Yeah, definitely. And what have you been playing this week, Matt?
So, in terms of new games that I'm playing, I got into Blues and Bullets recently, which is a 40s style, the Big Sleep noir kind of story-driven episodic game series. I've only just kind of started to play it, but yeah, it's really cool. I mean, it's set around the time of the Untouchables with Al Capone and all that kind of stuff. So it's, and the art style is really interesting because it's all black and white except for anything that is coloured red, which is then emphasised.
So it's Mad Mad.
Sorry?
A bit Mad Body?
It's, yeah, I mean, the visual effects are a little bit like Sin City. The way it was used colour, like it was all very heavily contrasted black and white, and then there was always that use of selective use of colour just to emphasise what their eye should be looking at. So, really, really interesting little game. So I haven't had a chance to really build an opinion on it as yet, but so far so good. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of, I guess, older games, I finally got around to starting to play Shadow of Mordor, and...
Oh.
Against all odds, I actually kind of like it. I didn't think I would because it looked like Assassin's Creed open world stuff, which never kind of sits well with me. But I really like the way it's kind of tied into the lore of Lord of the Rings. And it's, I guess, a more pure Lord of the Rings game, I think, than most of the other stuff that we've seen recently. So
I was entirely expecting you to say, I hate it. Because that game, I would not have picked you to like it at all. Because it's basically a better version of Assassin's Creed.
Well, the thing is, what I really liked about it was I just went through the tutorial, opening the first 30 minutes or whatever, and it stuck me in the world. Didn't give me too much more guidance beyond the fact, here's the marker, here's where you need to go next. So I started to wander off that way, thinking, that I'm at the start of the game. It's not going to be too punishing on me. And then, one of the boss-like characters spotted me. And before I knew it, I had, six of them surrounded me. And I got killed pretty quick. And then they all got promoted. And I'm like, oh, my God, so this is pretty hardcore. when you're actually in the middle of Mordor, as the game sits you, that's exactly what the kind of thing that you want. So, yeah, very impressed with that. Hopefully it holds up through the rest of the game with that kind of commitment to really punishing you if you screw up.
I do feel it drops off a bit towards the end and just becomes absolute nonsense where you just can't kill anyone except for one specific, very, very contextual way. But it is still very well done. Like, it's definitely worthy of playing through to completion.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing how it pans out. The other thing was I got it from, a second-hand shop for virtually nothing, and it was meant to be just the original version, but I think they mixed up the discs, so I actually ended up with a Game of the Year edition for, nothing, which is great.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a free win. All right, I think that pretty much wraps up everything we're playing at the moment, so we'll go to another music track and come back and talk about Australian games.
Yeah.
is a good segue into our next segment. Given that we don't have Chris and his American accent around this week, we thought we'd talk all about Australian games, something I always like to talk about, because, you know, Australia produces some pretty good stuff. One of the things I always find interesting is that people don't realise just how long Australians have been developing games that have been really kind of high profile and innovative and market leading. If you go all the way back to the early days of games, there was a little story-driven game called The Hobbit, which was which really did lead, how narratives were kind of explored in interactive form for a very long time, and it came from Melbourne House, which was Beam Software, which is not really around anymore. But it was a particularly innovative game, and that was the late 70s, I believe, early 80s, one or the other. Anyway, so yeah, Australians have been developing games for a very long time. We've been doing a very good job of it, and we've just seen, I don't know if anybody out there listening saw the Polygon article from earlier in the week, but they kind of highlighted how we're going through a real kind of indie resurgence in the game development space at the moment. And I think the vibe out there for Australian developers is really good. I don't know, obviously you're, as a developer, you're right into it, Nicole, but it seems like we've got a really good community and everybody's very positive, proactive, and developing a lot of good stuff at the moment.
Yeah, we do. We have a fantastic community, and it's a really supportive community too. I think we've all been there when things go south, and we don't want that to happen again. So.
Yeah, I guess because we went through that stage where we dropped to no major studios, obviously, and only a couple of hundred people working in the industry, it just seemed that everybody banded together to kind of share resources and help each other out when they could, because the ultimate goal is obviously that, you know, the more successful Australian games we have, the better for the entire industry.
Yeah, I think there's strength in numbers, I guess. And I think we've just been lucky. You know, a lot of the studios that have done really, really well just really great people who are happy to sort of pay it forward. So.
Yeah, I mean, the obvious example of that is the good guys who did at Hipster Whale with Crossy Road and Pac-Man 256, and then the new one, the Disney Crossy Road. But they seem to be like really, really good guys, and they seem to be very, very helpful for other developers, from what I've seen.
Up here in Brisbane, Defiant are really lovely.
Oh yeah, of course.
Whenever we get stuck or have a problem, there's always someone we can Skype and find out the answer. Pretty fantastic.
Yeah, Morgan Jaffet, the head, the CEO or whatever his title is of Defiant, is like one of the coolest guys, I think. He's just such
a
good force. Yeah, absolutely.
They're good people.
And Hand of Fate was a great game. That was what they produced last. So
yeah, I
can't
really
wait to see the sequel for that.
Me too.
And then your own game, of course, Ninja Pizza Girl. That was released last year. And we played it and we loved it. Did it get the response that you're kind of looking for?
The people that have played it on Steam have loved it, and we've just had some just amazing messages from people. I got an email just this week from a guy who's been playing games since the 70s, and it's his favorite game ever. So,
oh, that's good to hear.
He's got to have played a lot of games, so I think that's
Well, I mean, it was a game that had a really good, strong message too, and I think that's probably what people found really appealing about it. So, and it's obviously coming to console now. All three, is that correct? All three consoles?
Yeah. At the beginning, we thought that 9 platforms was a great idea, but we're getting there. We're in submission in all three consoles at the moment. We're not quite sure how long the process will take, but hopefully the end is in sight now. And we'll be able to announce a release date soon.
It's always good to see more Australian games just on every single platform. Like, whenever I scroll past any Australian games that I know on, like, PlayStation Network or on Steam or whatever, it's always like a bit of a, how good. a bit of a warm, fuzzy feeling knowing that it came from Australia.
Yeah,
I do
love developing for consoles. There's nothing quite like it.
I think your game's going to work so well on console too. I think it's kind of, I guess as a platformer, it's got a more natural home, I feel, on console with, you know, controller in the hand and kind of lounging back with the TV in front of you. So,
I definitely prefer playing games with a controller in my hand.
I feel like for most platform games, it's generally better off with a controller. I can't handle anything that's remotely precise with like jumping or anything on keyboard and mouse. I can't deal with it.
Yeah.
And the PS4 controller works quite well, I find. It's quite a comfortable controller to use, and it works for pretty much everything that I've seen so far. So I'm rather excited to check this out when it does eventually make it to the storefront.
It'll get there.
Well, Sony's been really good. I mean, I can imagine Sony's probably been really good to work with. I've heard that indies enjoy working with Sony at the moment, so.
They all have their pros and cons.
Right.
Nintendo have been fantastic, actually.
Oh, that's good to hear.
But, yeah, look, even Microsoft have their moments. Sony are good. We went for a long while where they wouldn't answer our emails, but we pushed past. It's all good now.
I guess one of the things I did want to talk to you about, I mean, we obviously met at TGS last year and I got a chance to play Ninja Pizza Girl there. What do you think, TGS being obviously the biggest show in the region, you know, the Asia-Pacific region, for the games industry, I mean, how do you think Australian developers are going, you know, in engaging on that kind of regional level at the moment with the community, with the industry, and you know, how did you think you went with TGS? Was there good positive vibes from the Japanese players as well?
They were fantastic, actually. I really enjoyed TGS. Going there has been a dream of mine for a long time, and going there to exhibit my game was just insane. But it was a fantastic experience, and I would definitely encourage more Aussie devs to go. It's so much easier than going over to the States.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's really weird. It's like every year I've been to TGS, and admittedly it was only been the last 2 years that I've been, but the last 2 years when I've been to TGS, there's been like one or two Australian developers, and that's it. The year before, it was just the Assault Android Cactus guys that were there. So, I mean, it's nice to walk past the indie booths and see an Australian guy, and it's like, oh, hey, how you doing? And actually kind of have someone who can understand your accent. But
So what you're essentially saying is you want someone to be playing Down Under while you walk past with a Vegemite sandwich.
Yeah, pretty much. No, it's nice to see that there's Australian developers there. It's weird that there's less of them who go to TGS than, say, developers from the Philippines or Laos even. I think there was like two of them the first year I went, and there was only one Aussie developer. So, yeah, I wonder why...
Four of us last year?
Four, yeah, that's right. There was a lot there last year, yeah. Or relatively light compared to the year before when there was just the one. So, I mean, it'd be nice to see more Australians go there. I wonder why not a whole lot of them do.
Yeah, I don't know. Because, I mean, it's a great market. They're a really invested market. They like, you know, different and interesting games. So, I don't know. It's the best convention I've been to, definitely.
Are you planning on going back this year?
I'm not sure if we'll go this year, but the year after, definitely.
Sure. I guess it depends on what games you've got to show off and
yeah,
all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Well, you sold me on it.
Yes, you'll need to come, Alan. We'll have a DDNet party over there. It'd be great.
Can we actually?
Yeah, why not? We'll do live streams from the TGS. Awesome. Do a live podcast. We'll just run around and play games. All right, we'll go to a quick music break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about Australian games. It and have a PC and would like to play it, please do so, because it is actually a very good game, well worth playing. All right, for the last section this week, we thought we'd just talk about our favourite Australian games, given that there has been so many of them developed over the years. So, Alan, what's your favourite Australian game ever, and why?
Well, I'm a very big fan of the classic De Blob, which unfortunately never really got the traction it sort of deserved. Basically, imagine a 3D platformer, but with this idea of painting over everything. It was really, really fun. It was very, very colourful. It was on the Wii, so it had a bit of waggle in it, but it was fine. And then they ported it to PS3 and 360, I believe, a couple of years after. And it got a sequel as well, which was rather impressive. But that was done by, I believe, Blue Tongue Games. And unfortunately, they went under with the THQ implosion, which a bit sad, but I'm sure they've all found a new job somewhere, which is rather good. But yeah, it was a rather novel 3D platformer that sort of came at a time on the Wii when there was nothing really at that level of quality apart from like a Mario game or
or just general sort of first-party Nintendo IPs, which is something that the we desperately needed in terms of actual quality sort of third-party experiences. But I really enjoyed it. The controls were fluid. The soundtrack was... I remember the soundtrack actually especially being wonderful. And it just had this really sort of bizarre Jet Set Radio-esque vibe to it, which I absolutely loved because no one ever cares about Jet Set Radio anymore, and I wish that more people did. And yeah, it was an absolutely wonderful game. Generally, you can pick it up quite easily now, I have to think, just on Amazon or on eBay or whatever. And I would certainly recommend it, especially the sequel as well, if you do get a chance. It's not as good in my opinion, but it's still pretty damn solid. Yeah, I absolutely love it. It's probably one of my favourite Australian-based games, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I actually haven't had a chance to play that one as yet, unfortunately. It's been something that's been kind of on the background of stuff I would like to do at some stage for a while. And, yeah, it looks good. Like, I do love the visual style of it. It's so bright and so cheerful. Not enough of those games in general out there, so...
Yeah. It's a nice palate cleanser after something like Souls.
Yeah, Yeah, after all the dark, shooty games, it's nice to have something a little light to refresh yourself. Yeah, okay. Nicole, what about you? If you had to pick one or two Aussie games that you absolutely loved, what would you say?
That's hard. Destroy All Humans has always been one of my favourites.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that was an Aussie one.
Yeah, it came out at a time when games were taking themselves very seriously. And it just didn't. I thought that was great.
Because who was that by? I always forget their name. It wasn't Red Ant.
Pandemic.
Yeah. Because they went under in like 2009, I believe.
Yeah.
It was very, very upsetting.
Weren't they an EA studio? EA shut them up?
Yep. Thanks, EA.
Yeah, didn't Bono buy them at one stage or something?
I remember that happening, but I read that in a magazine and I wasn't sure if it was a joke article.
No, that happened.
Just of all the things that could possibly happen. All the things. So bizarre. Bono.
They were good guys, the Pandemic guys. They also did Mercenaries, didn't they? That was them.
Yeah, they were making games for like a good 15, 20 years. Yeah. They've been around for ages.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And they had the best studio. It was a really nice studio.
Oh, that's right. They were based up in Queensland, weren't they?
Yeah, I had studio envy.
Oh, that's right, because they did The Saboteur. And then they, because that didn't sell particularly well. That's unfortunate. I remember that. And, oh, they did Battlefront? Oh, I had no idea. These guys are awesome. I keep forgetting that they existed. Aww. Oh, and they're the Dark Reign guys as well. Oh. I completely forgot that they did Dark Reign. I used to play that all the time as a kid. It was wonderful. Oh.
Speaking of which... Satellite Rain would be one of my favourites too. So,
oh yeah, that's a great game.
We're picking great Australian games, that'd have to go on the list.
Yeah, that's a really good game. Gosh, you've made some good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess for me, I really like the guys down at Big Ant and the sports games they produce. Not that I'm the biggest fan of sports games. A lot of the time I just happen to like all the sports that Big Ant turns into games. So, you know, cricket especially, that Don Bradman cricket is the best cricket game I think that has ever been created. I know that's probably, it's not the biggest sporting franchise out there in the first place. So there's not been too many good attempts at games, but Australians do tend to do the good ones. After Don Bradman, the other really great cricket game, you'd have to look all the way back on the Super Nintendo for Super International Cricket, which was also developed by Australians and was also a lot of fun. I remember getting into a lot of fights with my brothers playing that one. Yeah, so there's those ones. I also really like the guys down at Street Turn Right, whatever they're called. The ones that did the port of Mass Effect 3 to the Wii U, which was just amazing. Yeah. And Deus Ex, the director's cut, which was
the best version of Deus Ex.
Yeah, the really good one. That was a really good effort they did with that. And then obviously the Twilight Princess remaster on the Wii U as well, which is actually a really good good effort. So, you know, I can't believe that Nintendo hasn't acquired them as yet to just work on bringing stuff to Wii U, because their understanding of that hardware is just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I've not really encountered a port on the Wii that's been bad so far, so that's probably a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, they're really good guys. They also, their other studio is Tantalus, I want to say. Is it? The sister studio for them has produced some pretty good stuff too. I don't know if any of you remember, but Funky Barn, back on when the Wii U launched, was like this really kind of cheap simulation game, which was, it was simple, but it was just a lot of fun, and that was also from them. And I enjoyed playing that a lot when the Wii U didn't have a whole lot to play at the start.
It still doesn't, really.
Yeah, unfortunate console. Well, yeah. It's got Ninja Pizza Girl coming for it.
It does.
Yeah, it's just a tragedy every time I log onto the eShop at the moment, and just the...
It's a bit dead.
The stuff that comes on it that isn't from Nintendo at the moment is just... it's really quite poor.
Having said that, Mario Party 2, it's making a return. Very excited.
Yes. It's on the Virtual Console. I love that game.
That's
my favourite Mario Party by a long way.
Okay, well, yeah. I'm glad that we both agree about that. Because I would fight you if you said that 3 was better.
No, Mario Party 2.
That is just flat out wrong. It's better than 9 and 10 and all the terrible.
Mario Party's completely lost its way now, I think.
I have no idea what that game even is anymore. It's just drive a car in the game.
Yeah, it's like a
Mario Party Gran Turismo.
So, yeah, I think, I mean, if there are any other games that anybody wants to mention from Australia while we're here, that would be, now would be a good time to do so.
Oh, Agent A on iOS.
Oh, yes.
That's really good.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we should actually mention that. Like, Australians do such great work with the mobile platform in general. Like, so many of the big hit games that have come on iOS have been from Australians, so Jetpack Joyride, Fruit Ninja, Crossy Road.
I always forget that Half Brick's Australian.
All the Verbi Noun games.
Yeah, all the Verbi Noun games.
Yeah.
What was that? The one that I can't remember what it's called. Fractured. One where you, it's like a comic book platformer.
Framed. Yeah, Frame,
that was an Aussie game, which was a really wonderful one as well.
Mm. And wasn't that Epoch game? Wasn't that an Australian game as well?
Yeah.
I remember that being huge for a while. Like, that was like the big technical masterpiece that they were using to show off the power of the iPad when that came out. I remember that being really big, which is awesome. It's actually a pretty fun game as well.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, absolutely. They the studio that made that one then went and made Submerged for console and stuff, and I absolutely love that game.
Oh, it's those guys.
Yeah, those guys.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they're really cool guys. Yeah, it's a small industry, but everybody knows everybody, and then everybody's producing really good stuff. So.
Yeah, definitely.
It's good to see. Why do you think that Australians are just so good at making these mobile games, Nicole?
That's a really excellent question. I guess it's easier to be brave and go out and make your own games here because you don't have a lot of other alternatives.
Yeah, I guess the mobile platform's a good one to take those kinds of risks and do something really creative.
And, yeah. and we've got a lot of talent here that, you know, a lot of people had a lot of experience making games under not ideal conditions for a long time.
Yeah.
So that kind of translates to going indie pretty well.
See, I was expecting a response along the lines of, because we're awesome. And yeah. I would have accepted that just as much, if not more.
Well, I mean, that just goes without saying, really.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yes, so fingers crossed we can get some funding back into the games industry, I guess.
It's happening. It is happening, hopefully.
A lot of studios are doing really well without it and starting to
look
stable now, which is just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I think the fact that video games now make a lot more money than film does, I think is a sign to a lot of people being like, yeah, maybe we should support this. Maybe.
I know, it's ridiculous. The amount of funding that the films get. Oh, don't even get me started.
It's so strange.
Yeah.
It's just it's such an easier, I guess, export opportunity too. It's like...
Exactly.
What was the number? It's like 4% of revenue for Australian developed games actually comes from Australia. So that means like 96% of the revenue that Australian developers earn comes from overseas. And that's like such a strong export opportunity for us, which brings money into the country, which is, it's a good thing. We should be encouraging a whole lot more of it.
A small amount of investment goes a really long way in games.
For sure.
So, if anybody listening out there happens to be an investor, find some Aussie development studios and throw some money at them.
Please.
There needs to be a Ninja Pizza Girl too.
Yes.
Ninja Pizza Guy, we're thinking.
Ninja Pizza Guy next? Okay, that would be... that would be balanced and diverse and stuff.
Yeah.
All right. I think that pretty much brings to a close everything we have to chat about Australian games this week. Thank you very much, as always, for listening. And thank you for coming on and being part of the podcast, Nicole. Really appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And we really look forward to giving Ninja Pizza Girl a whirl on console once it lands. So do keep us up to date with that.
Will do.
And thank you, as always, for participating, Alan.
Thank you. Yes, I will be editing this, so if there are any mistakes, please feel free to shout at me at IronShroom on Twitter, or just generally wherever you can just shout if you're in Australia, and I'll probably hear you. just go for it. Just scream out into the sky, and I'll probably call back somehow.
And yes, you'll be able to get us on all of our social medias. We will put those in the description of the podcast. And if you want to drop a little note to Nicole to say hello, I'm sure she will be happy to say hello back. Thank you very much for listening, as always, and we shall see you next week. Thanks very much.
Catch you guys.
Digitally uploaded.